The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we have some questions. So we are going to talk about what is one of the most number one hormone disruptor in terms of BPA. We've all heard of it, I feel like. Not a lot of us know what BPA is other than we look for BPA free or why. Why do you want BPA free? Or if you are still using certain items that could have BPA in them, what are they and how to make that transition? We are going to be talking about what to look for in terms of accrediting vitamins. I so often will look over supplements from individuals in the office. And there's one thing, before I ever look at any ingredients, before I ever look at any other ingredients, there is something that I look for specifically. So I want to teach you what that is so you can look on your vitamins or supplements, as well as chlorine from drinking in your tap water to swimming in it through summer times and pools. Is there harm that comes with chlorine? So those are going to be some of the aspects of what we talk about. Now, if you don't know much about what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, we look at whole body wellness, and I laugh a little bit at that just because I had a patient who came in more recently, and he was like, I want to get this fixed. And he was a patient, it was a gentleman who was late 20s, early 30s. And he said, but I'm committed to coming like 4 to 6 times. And I was like, okay. I said, well, do you know what you have going on? Like, you're an athlete, you're doing all of these things. And he was like, no, but I'm pretty sure it's going to take 4 to 6 visits and it'll be fixed. And I was like, okay, well, you might see pain reduction with that, which is, of course, something we always desire is pain reduction and working on that. But, you know, our goal here, regardless, is going to be able to get to the cause. And he was like, well, I'm not going to be that one who keeps coming back. My father-in-law does that. He comes back every single week. And I was like, well, what does your father-in-law have going on? Like, maybe you don't. Maybe you did just pull a muscle. Maybe you do have arthritis. Maybe there is underlying ligamentous damage. And he said this kind of exacerbation had only happened 2 weeks ago. And I still said, you know, being a previous athlete, football, wrestling, I said, let's just see what's going on. When I tell you that this, like I said, late 20s, early 30s, bone-on-bone degeneration in his lower back, came in with shoulder pain. I'm like, listen, this is like, you know, you go to the dentist and you're like, hey, I just want to let you know you have a cavity. And you're like, yeah, I don't have any tooth pain. I'm good. You're like, listen, you will have tooth pain and it will get worse. Like, unless we get to the cause where it's like something where you're like, why did I pay all of this money when I never even had any tooth pain? And you're like, because the detriment of leaving that there would have been worse in 5 years. So you take care of it before it becomes massively symptomatic or problematic. And that's why I said, I can give you my recommendations, you know, and if someone wants to come into our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic and they only want 4 to 6 visits, more power to you. I'll adjust you 4 to 6 visits and I will do my my hardest work, my damnedest, to try to make sure that you see relief in those 4 to 6 visits. But that doesn't mean that we're correcting the cause of the problem. That doesn't mean we're correcting the cause of the, you might feel better, right? Oh, I got a little bit of tooth pain on the side. Put some Orajel on it, right? Isn't that what you give kids with like teething pain when they were little? I don't give that to my kids, but you know what I mean? Like put, okay, cool. Your tooth doesn't hurt as much. You numbed it a little bit. Give it a week. How's it going for you? Oh, the damage is still there. Okay. So you didn't get to the cause, just mask the symptoms, right? And so that's inevitably our goal, is that I don't want to be a glorified Advil. What I want to be is a doctor who helps navigate through and help you get down to the root cause of the problem. Part of that might be chiropractic. Part of that might be nutrition. Part of that might be detox. Part of that might be oxygen and lean muscle. Part of that might be mindset. Right? And when you look at that aspect of things, when you're like, hey, the process of osteoarthritis, disc degeneration, you know, looking at structural correction like military neck or forward head posture, we actually, our specialty, what less than 2% of chiropractors do, is that we actually work on correcting the structure of the spine. And we educate you about that. And then you can say, yeah, I only want to come 4 to 6 visits. Sound good? Hey, I want to get down to the root cause of the problem. It might take a little bit longer. I'm willing to do that. Okay, well, we'll help you. Hey, I want to get well and stay well for the rest of my life. Okay, cool. We'll help you. I'm here to meet you where you're at, but that still doesn't lessen the amount of education that I'm going to give you about the root cause of your problem. And so that's inevitably one. When you realize that you're sick of masking symptoms, when you're sick of just taking Advil or going to do things, right? We can get massaged or stimmed or all good things. But if you're not getting down to the root cause, and it just comes back. Like that's our goal at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So when you're ready, you just give us a call. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Before we dive down into some questions, though, I have some news.
Dr. Leanne's health news.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health news now. One of the world's most commonly prescribed medications. Maybe
today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
Today's health in the news. Menopause is not a disease. Experts call for a new narrative for this natural stage of a woman's life. I thought this was really applicable. They have, and by they, big pharma, it's just, name me one woman who's in their 70s who has not gone through menopause. This is something that God created every woman's body to go through. We're not meant to bear children in our 50s and 60s and 70s. Now, has God called upon us to raise some of those children? Yes. Sometimes something we desire. Sometimes we do just because we've got big hearts and, you know, they've got nowhere else to go. You see this a lot with like grandparents helping raise grandchildren. They put it on our hearts, but not for our body to create. So like when someone's like, I'm going through menopause, I'm like, oh, what? No way. What disease? What medication should you be on? You're like, stop. Get out of here. So when I read this title, I was a little bit excited about it, especially because it's from more of a mainstream media source. Menopause is not a disease. Expert call for a new narrative for this natural stage of woman's life. So they talk about how it's an analysis piece that was published in the British Medical Journal. An obstetrician, Martha Hickey, of the Royal Women's Hospital in Victoria, Australia, and three women's health professors from the UK, US, and Australia discussed the social and cultural attitudes to the life stage when most women stop periods, which is typically between the ages of 45 and 55. And the urge to need to normalize menopause. So 2021, there was a global survey revealed that 16 to 40% of women experience moderate to severe symptoms during menopause. Symptoms include feeling tired, hot flashes, sleep difficulties, aching muscles or joints. Now, Common treatment offered to relieve these symptoms is hormone replacement therapy, right? Which is a medication used to replace the hormones lost during menopause and in turn ease the symptoms. Many studies have shown it's effective in helping women through the menopause, though there are risks, such as increasing your risk of breast cancer. The benefits are thought to outweigh such risks. And that's where you look at. Now, I have not yet myself gone through menopause, but here's something interesting that I have learned over these last several years of bearing children. I chose to breastfeed all of my children. And if you know anything about breastfeeding, it is hormones that create milk, milk letdown, it is generically spoken a hormonal imbalance, which again, I'm blessed to be able to feed my kids this way. Though that being said, what's interesting about it, I was going through years ago, was that right after my first, I think, and it was a hormone reboot, like makeover, that we were doing a big seminar. And it was talking about women who were going through menopause and how the hormonal imbalance is the same in women who are breastfeeding. And I was like, oh gosh, exhausted, I can't sleep, the hot flashes, the achy muscle, the dry skin, all of the things. And you're like, oh, this is kind of what menopause is. So no, know that I'm not saying I went through menopause, but if I got a glimpse of what menopause is going through the season of life, which is breastfeeding, I can understand how people wouldn't necessarily want to live there forever. Though that being said, when we're looking at hormone replacement therapy, what we don't say is, we say, hey, the tangible, right? The very tangible thing that we feel is the lessening of symptoms. But when you're like Premarin, right? Premarin, used for estrogen, Premarin stands for pregnant Mars urine. Like, it's pregnant horse urine. That they're like, oh, we'll just do this. And you're like, but has anyone ever told you about the risks? Like, though you're not going through these super embarrassing hot flashes, though you are sleeping better, do they also talk about the increased risk of breast cancer? They talk about how Hickey and her co-authors argue that it's an effective treatment. It's important for those with troublesome symptoms. Medicalization may increase women's anxiety and apprehension about this natural stage in life, right? Like, as a woman, we have been generally meant to fear this change in life. Like, we're going through the, and that's what people didn't even cause it. Look, like, I'm going through menopause, but like, I'm going through the change. Like, we're almost embarrassed that this is happening, like, because we're losing our youth and our vitality. And they add, medicalization of menopause risks collapsing the wide range of experience at the average age associated with natural process into a narrowly defined disease requiring treatments, and tends to emphasize the negative aspects of menopause. Women with severe hot flashes and night sweat often benefit from menopause hormonal therapy. Most women consider menopause a natural process and prefer not to take medication, right? Like, here's the thing, when they're like, you have to have medication. You don't, though. Like, women get through it. And what's interesting about it is that there are individuals who get through it and don't even know. I had a woman who's like, I'm feeling kind of funny. Went to the doctor. You know what they said? They're like, oh yeah, you just finished up menopause. And she was like, oh, I didn't even know I started. And then you have other women who are so miserable and not able to function. And you're like, what's the difference between the two of them? And if you start off with hormonal imbalances and you go through a hormonal change, like, do you think that's going to be harder? It's not part of the article. My answer is yes. So, medical caution over the use of hormone replacement therapy is not new. They talk about how this was Watkins that. So Elizabeth Siegel Watkins wrote a book, The Estrogen Elixir, A History of Hormone Replacement in America. And so it's published in 2007. She explains in this book that the medicalization of menopause begins with a dynamic interaction among scientists, pharmaceutical manufacturers, and gynecologists in producing, marketing, and prescribing estrogen in the first decades of the 20th century. The approach to the treatment of menopause reveals just where the science is at, but also where culture is at when it comes to middle-aged women, right? Their promoted long-term hormone replacement therapy is a solution to middle-aged women woes, believing that estrogen would not only, quote, prevent the development of osteoporosis, but would also maintain a youthful appearance, a positive attitude, and a happy marriage. If you don't know, when you go through the change, those changes can cause vaginal dryness, right? Which is where they promote the happy marriage with it. Like, your husband will be so much happier with you. You'll be so much happier with your husband. Like, I just... the language may have changed since that time, but the association between hormone replacement and the expectation to hold on to one's youth persists. So it's just looking at changing the narrative around menopause. We get some vague talk about hot flashes, but here is the experience. My body has decided it needs hot showers, but then overheats for the hour afterwards. Cue, twiddling thumb until it cools down enough to put on clothes. Cue, adds extra hour to morning routine. She adds, current discourse veers between, it's all natural. Yeah, so is death, to complete pathologization. Like, we need to talk menopause without hyper-medicalization. Know this. Are there aspects that are uncomfortable? Yes. So, but is it something that our body was meant to do? We were created to go through menopause. So the BMJ analysis reaches the same conclusion. Quote, normalizing aging in women and celebrating the strengths, beauty, and achievements of middle-aged women can change the narrative and provide positive role models, which I really loved. They said, you know, when you take this demographic of women who are going through menopause and said, if you have a medication that half of the population should be taking, then it's an enormous profit. Like, we're not meant to bear children forever. We're not meant to have this. And this is a normal process of our body. Just like with men, you know, you're not going to have the same levels of testosterone 45 versus 25, right? It's a normal process of aging. So stop pegging the disease process and let's embrace what we've been given and how God has designed our bodies to gracefully age. Embrace it. So now, I talked about that menopause can become harder if you already have hormone imbalances. And have you ever heard of BPA? Do you know where it comes from, where it's hiding and lurking, and the deal that it has to do with your hormones? If not, we'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or check us out online. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are touching base about some Q&As. But not boring. I feel like these are exciting Q&As. Not boring ones. So anyways, let's talk about BPA. There are times throughout, because I've been on this health journey, because I've been living more of this like naturally minded lifestyle for so long, there are just aspects of life that I think everyone knows. You know, like when we're like, say no to sugar. But then they're like, yes, that's why I'm doing Diet Coke. And I'm like, that's actually worse. And they're like, is it? Like, yes. Yes, it is. So here's where we look. I mean, we figure out what does that look like? BPA. Because I feel like BPA-free has been kind of this hot topic for a while. Though, that being said, let's talk about what is BPA. So BPA stands for bisphenol A. It is a ubiquitous chemical that's used in primary plastics and epoxy resins. This is where I get kind of nervous for, you know, it's like all the trend now to make your own cups. It's like a thing. I mean, you might know about this. You might not. People like do the really cool looking cups and they sell them on like Etsy or whatever. That's epoxy resin. And so I'm like, oof, that's, and they're just, there's nothing that's cut. They're put, I'm just, anyways. So primarily in plastics and epoxy resin. Studies, multiple studies detail that majority of the population, as in 90 to 99% of us, have detectable levels of BPA. Now, this chemical is linked to a couple problems. Fertility issues is one of them. Endocrine disruptors, right? Hormone disruption. And so that makes sense when you're talking about fertility issues. If there's a hormone disruption, why it would affect fertility. This is one too, when we talk about like the endocrine system, people say, oh gosh, like my thyroid's not working properly. You know, it's part of the endocrine system. Neurological impairment, breast cancer, prostate cancer, PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is PCOS, cardiovascular disease, obesity, thyroid dysfunction, high blood pressure. Now, how our body typically handles BPA. So BPA is thought to be eliminated in about 24 hours if there are no issues in the processes of detoxification, which is not oftentimes what I find when we talk about, when we look at like functional medicine testing. New literature suggests that BPA can also be stored in the body, which makes sense when you have an excess, your body stores toxins in its fat. So BPA is primarily detoxed in the liver via glucuronidation. After glucuronidation, BPA is either eliminated via the kidneys, which through urine, or bile, which is through fecal matter. So out your peas, poops. BPA is also excreted in our sweat. So in fat, the accumulation of BPA was about 3 times higher than other tissues. So when we talk about what's interesting, let's talk about where it's found first, right? Plastic bottles. This is especially true in terms of baby bottles. Baby bottles, leaching of this chemical into bottle fluid is 55-fold if boiling water is added. So you put hot water into this plastic bottle and then you give it to your baby. And we're like, hi, here are all of these hormone disruptions that comes with this BPA. Now, an ideal world, babies drink out of glass bottles. But I've had babies and I am a mom, right? So before I had kids, I'm like, you are only drinking out of glass Dr. Bronner bottles. I think that's what it was. And so that's all I asked for was that one bottle. So I had dozens of them. And then oddly enough, my kid wouldn't drink out of it. I'm like, but I said, and these are plastic. And so the one that he did want to drink out of was a plastic bottle. And so we never, ever, you know, like what in that aspect, like what do you do? And I'm like, okay, well, we have to good, better, best it. I am a full-time working mom. So I cannot bring this baby around with me. I have to go see patients back in the office, you know, 6 weeks after I gave birth for all of my kids. And so we would actually warm up the milk in a glass bottle and transfer it over to the other bottle. So then that way it was, you know, body temperature. Nothing was extraordinarily hot. It wasn't up against super hot water the way that we warmed it up. And so it was just a way in like a good, better, best scenario. Plastic utensils, plastic forks, spoons, knives, one of the highest, the worst source that like when they say in terms of how many times is that our receipts, like the highest. And so EWG actually warns that it can transfer from your hands from the receipt and into your body through your skin, or if you touch food or your mouth. Receipts, thermal receipts that you get. And so here's the real thing is like, what do you really need that receipt for? You know, there's some business expenses that sometimes I use it for, but most candidly. Another one too is that canned goods. So it's oftentimes used in the lining of cans for vegetables, soups, fruits, which since it's present during the high heat canning and sterilization process, the levels in there might be actually higher. So solution for that is using fresh or frozen fruits and vegetables. Dental sealants, that's another one that we oftentimes don't know where BPA might be. So that's another one. Just talk to your dentist before any dental work. Plastic wrap, coffee pots, right? Coffee pots are a huge source of BPA. And since you're using very hot water, again, there's a higher chance. Solution, we use a French press. We did use glass, but then I would break them too often. So we have a stainless steel French press that we use now, which is nice because I don't break it. Again, soda cans. CDs and DVDs are a lesser one. We don't really touch that as much. Eyeglass lenses, panty liners, pads and tampons. I see the most part like plastic containers. So an easy solution to that is, you know, all we store are things on our glass. Now, here's what's really interesting. They actually went through and showed when you're like, well, I don't do BPA. I do BPA free. And you're like, well, the problem with that is that they're like, hey, we still need some flexibility on this. So it's going to be BPA free. But then we have BPS, which is bisphenol S or bisphenol F. Both of which were to find just as much, if not more, hormonal effect than BPA. So when you're like, oh, this is plastic, but it's BPA free, it probably has BPS or BPF. And what's even more interesting about that is like, we know so many of these chemicals have problems with hormone disruption in utero because we've got these really rapid dividing and growing cells. So when we have something that's in there that has an effect, we see it so much when babies are in utero. So they actually looked at BPA exposure during the point in time that would be analogous to the second trimester in human pregnancy. And there was a real and measurable effect on brain development and behavior. They also looked at a replacement using BPA-free products, and it also affects the neurodevelopment of these fetuses. So data combined with over a dozen physiological and behavioral human studies began to point that the prenatal period for exposure to BPA, BPS, or BPF is extremely vulnerable. Right? Like your baby's brain development happens in utero. So what happens when you're having all this? You're eating out of the plastic containers and you're drinking out of the plastic water bottles and you're like, but it's BPA free. And you're like, no, you know, I use like Hydro Flask, right? Which is like a stainless steel. So those are the options. Now, if you've been doing it, one, you have to make those changes, stop putting BPA in the body, but then how do you get rid of it? One is that there are using cruciferous vegetables, resveratrol, citrus fruits, have bioactive components of glucuronidation enzymes. For short, they use UGTs. So, when you're talking about it, helps with, opening up detoxification pathways. The one that they found most that it was up to 20 times higher in terms of excreting BPA, more than blood, more than urine, is through your sweat. So sweat was induced through exercise and or the use of steam or infrared sauna, right? So like get out there and sweat. God, I was sweating in the garden the other day. I was doing very mild work, but it was very hot out and I was sweating a ton. And I was like, yes, opening up my detox pathways. But I mean, it's important with weight loss too, because BPA does accumulate in the fats when you're detoxing the body and opening up these detoxification pathways. Like how many of us aren't exercising and we just think, oh, like I'm thin, I don't need to do it. Or, hey, I'm not concerned about losing weight. It has nothing to do with that. Detoxification pathways. So stay away from BPA free. Stay away from BPA. Start making those changes to help keep seeing great results in terms of your overall health. Now, when you grab a vitamin off the shelf, there are some things that you should look for before you even look at the ingredient list. And I tell you what they are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Check us out online. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Now, today, we are answering some questions, some really great ones. We just touched base about hormonal imbalances and what one of the main disruptor is and where to find it, some alternatives. But now let's talk about vitamins. I have had so many individuals who have come in over the last several months saying, can you look over all of my supplements? And my answer is always absolutely. Let's see what you're taking. Let's see why you're taking it. Are you having too much of something, not enough of another? Well, so interestingly enough, the first thing that I look at, and you would think it would be other ingredients, but really that's the second thing that I look at. The first thing that I look at, if you hand me anything, is are your supplements GMP or NSF certified? What does it mean and why? One of the reasons why vitamins and supplements have gotten such a bad rap is because I literally could make them for you in my basement and feed them to you. Like there's zero regulation on it, right? And so there are so many times. Oh, for example, I had a patient, husband and wife, who did some functional medicine testing more recently. And it was interesting because I looked at the wife's first and I noticed that her iron and her copper were through the roof, which is problematic because those are both elements that cross the blood-brain barrier and cause neurotoxicity in higher amounts, right? So it's kind of a big deal. And I was like, I cannot imagine what this woman's taking. And what's interesting is I then looked at her husband's. And when I looked at her husband's, I was like, oh gosh, because his iron and copper were also through the roof. And I'm like, are you guys taking the same multivitamin? And they're like, yeah, well, we get ours from this big box store and, you know, ours is what's one that we can get just a ton of, right? It's like and it's cheap. She's like, and I'm frugal. And I said, I have not often told someone to literally throw away their vitamins because of my fear of toxicity. But I said, this is one of them for both of you. Like, it doesn't matter. I would literally rather, as a doctor, have you not take these supplements because the damage in which they're doing to your body is exponentially worse than what you think. And she was like, oh my goodness. And I'm like, well, she was like, but on the label it says, and I said, it doesn't matter what the label says. If it's not third party tested, I can take a bunch of dirt from my backyard, grind up some grass. I can say, hey, I made this super awesome B complex and I could sell it to you. Which is why several years back, the New York State's Attorney General's office actually had a class action suit against, what was it, Walgreens, Walmart, Target, and GNC, because they went in and they grabbed a bunch of these nutraceuticals and they were like, okay, what does this look like? And so they took like St. John's Wort and all those things. And they said, hey, we just wanted to let you know, like, our supplements are gluten-free and dairy-free. And they found that one, the active ingredient that was on there, ginkgo biloba, for example, was not even present. So the active ingredient wasn't present. And there were things like common houseplants, common allergens. So they're like, had to pull them all off the shelf. Well, guess what? Those box stores are really good at like making sure I've got fresh cucumbers, right? And affordable toilet paper. They're not really focused on, gosh, I really hope that these supplements work out well for them. They're like, hey, can we make some money off of it? Do we have a good return on investment? Cool, let's do it. And so that is the problem. And so when you have a lot of these, you know, unfortunate multi-level marketing, or the first thing that I look at is, are they GMP or NSF certified? Is there someone who's accredited really looking at what is physically in there to make sure it's in there? Because if they're not, it doesn't matter what's on the label, because they could put anything in there. They could make the greatest claims and it doesn't matter because they're not third-party tested. Here's what's really interesting about that too. I had a patient who came in and swore by these vitamins. These are the best quality, best this, best that. And I'm like, okay, my first question, I'm not even going to look at the label. Are they GMP or NSF certified? Went online, couldn't find it. So she emailed the company and said, hey, I just want to know, are these GMP? GMP stands for good manufacturing processes. Is this GMP certified? And they said, we follow GMP protocol. And she was like, look, it says right here, GMP certified. And I'm like, it's really a yes, no type of question. Like, yes, you are GMP certified, or no, you're not. And they didn't answer that question. They said, we follow GMP practices. And so I was like, it's really, you just have to ask me a yes or no question. And when I tell you that that person went in the most roundabout way, that they followed, they wouldn't answer the question. They literally wouldn't answer the question. I'm like, because they're not. And so when you look at like, what is GMP or NSF certification, they're a little bit different. So when you look at NSF, NSF means National Safety Foundation, right? It's now called NSF International. It is a nonprofit, non-governmental group that develops standards as well as certifies and educates the general public about health and safety. Supplements with NSF mark have tested for safety of contaminants and are regulated for manufacturing consistency and accuracy. It's an ongoing process, which means that you get the same high quality in every product with NSF mark. GMP means good manufacturing practices. And again, it's a mark that's commonly found alongside of NSF certification. So again, it's a term that's used around the world and signifies that products have been tested for quality control. So GMP also regulates, so that's what I always look at, GMP also regulates the equipment used to create each product and requires all the methods of operation, which include cleaning, testing, manufacturing, have been validated to perform their specific function, right? So when you're looking at GMP or NSF processes, it's the same high standard that you would apply. What's interesting too is that when you sign up for this, it's not a one-time event. It involves regular on-site inspections of manufacturing facilities, regular retesting of the product to ensure that they continue to meet the same high standard required to maintain certification over time. They sign up for unannounced plant inspections and product testing and material analysis. So when you're looking at, if I make that in my basement, guess what? I'm not going to sign up for GMP or NSF certification. And so it's just one, before you even look at what's, gosh, the ingredients are so great. Well, you have no idea what's really in there. You do though, if you've got NSF or GMP certification. So look at it, read it. If it is not GMP or NSF certified, I don't even look at the rest of the ingredients. It doesn't matter, right? GMP, NSF. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. We're talking Q&A today. 317-893-2853, or check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. What about chlorine? There's two aspects of chlorine. One is a more obvious, one is a less obvious. The more obvious one that I'll touch base with are swimming pools. We know that swimming pools are chlorinated. By the way, fun fact, I learned several years back when having a pool and looking at maybe transitioning it to a saltwater pool, that salt water pools, actually it's a salt system that uses a process called electrolysis, that by sending electricity through salt water, sodium chloride, which interacts with the chloride ion in sea salt, which creates chlorine in the water. So saltwater pools just basically turn salt into chlorine. P.S. by the way, if you don't believe me, Google it. Pool guy told me, fought it. He was right. Don't argue with the pool guy. And you're like, but I have a saltwater pool, so I don't swim in chlorine. That's not true. So really, chlorine has a couple main jobs. It sanitizes, it kills bacteria and germs. It oxidizes, it controls organic debris, and it deters algae. So when we're talking about chlorine and swimming in pools, chlorine is absorbed into your skin. If you missed my sunscreen, you can catch it on podcast platforms, Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Anything you put on your body goes in your body. So too much exposure to chlorine has been linked to major health issues, including reproductive disorders, birth defects. This is one where oftentimes you notice that it causes your skin or hair to dry out over too much time. It causes wrinkles. When you're talking about, especially chlorinated pools that are indoor, toxic gases such as nitrogen trichloride are released, which can be very dangerous. It leads to respiratory problems or asthma. There's a reason why when you jump like your chlorinated pool and you're like, oh, it's green. You're like, yeah, it kills everything. And you're like, well, I'm just swimming in lower doses of it in terms of parts per million. Now, granted, listen, we have a swimming pool at our house, but we have a rule. If you swim, you shower within the next 2 hours. Is it annoying? Sometimes, yes, it is. It's a rule I made, and it's a rule that annoys me. But that being said, it's reaffirmation when we go through, when I talk about this, and you're like, yes, I want to have fun all summer long. I want to enjoy the time. We have a pool in our backyard, but it's one that you have to at least rinse off your skin. Secondary component of one of the things that we look at is a product through BioRay. If you want to reach out, I can always give you more information. But there's a product through BioRay that actually helps with ridding the body's system and decreasing the amount of free chlorine. They have something called microionized chlorella. And so they've done like different samples of having samples that have free chlorine, adding this there and watching it decrease. So these are ones where I'm like, hey, in a good, better, best scenario, you know, best is that I keep my kids out of the pool. I will say though, that while I was pregnant, just because I know how that little nervous system that anything goes on or in my body, I did not swim. I maybe put my feet in for a second, but I'll spray off with the hose before I jump into that pool. It was just something that I was really cognizant of when I was pregnant. I was very fearful of that. But what about when our drinking water, you know, you look at, I didn't realize the Chicagoland area. I always knew when I had friends that lived in the city versus I lived slightly south of the city. And so I had friends who lived in the city and I would always go to their house and I loved their water. I loved their water. It smelled so much different. It tasted so much better. My thoughts as a kid. And more recently when I went back, I drank some of the Chicago water and I poured it in a cup and I was like, oh, it literally smelled like a swimming pool. I have been so disconnected from toxic tap water for so long that I could barely... I couldn't drink it. I literally couldn't drink it. And so when you talk about the dangers of what happens when you are drinking water is full of it, here's just some quick. In a small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, after changing from drinking mountain sweet spring water to chlorinated tap water, the population went from having no heart attacks to having heart attacks with no change in their diet. Research published in Environmental Health Perspectives, the byproduct of chlorine are associated with an increased risk of bladder or rectal cancers. A study analyzed thousands of cancer deaths in the United States found that drinking chlorinated water appears to increase the risk of gastrointestinal cancers over a person's lifetime by 50 to 100%. 2008 study, based on analysis of over 400,000 infants in Taiwan, found that drinking water disinfected by chlorine while pregnant may increase the risk of having children with heart problems, cleft palates, or major brain defects. That's why I didn't swim in the pool. According to surveys published by the Annals of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, chlorophenol byproducts of water chlorinated might explain the rise of food allergies in the Western world. Well, of course, you know, chlorine is designed to kill bacteria. What about your gut? Right? We're like, oh, we love probiotics, but like, what about your gut? So what do? Right? I kind of gave you the answers in terms of swimming. For drinking, it is important to ensure that you have filtered drinking water. Reverse osmosis is what we do. It takes out all the good, all the bad. Yes, we have to reintroduce trace minerals, and I will more than willing to do that to ensure that my water is void and clean of all of the other things. Fluoride, chlorine, it's so important. So, is chlorine dangerous? Answer, yes, it sure is. But we've kind of normalized it over the course of time. So, little Q&A. Now, if you have questions that you want answered, shoot us you could Facebook message us, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. You can send us an email, info@greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Long but easy, info@greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You can text us, 317-893-2853. To have your questions answered, or come in, ask them in person, get more personalized answers and results. 317-893-2853 or schedule an appointment online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.